Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, it's Bill in Newbridge upon Tyne. How are you?
Bill?
Yes.
In Newbridge, oh, Newbridge upon Tyne.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I just...
Down by the river.
Yeah. I just never, you know, it's not a very populated neighborhood in Newbridge.
It's not. It's pretty exclusive, I have to say.
Very fancy. Well, not
it
very,
is,
not
yeah.
very fancy. It's...
Well, I inherited it from my parents, so
okay.
It's not, I don't like to talk about that because I want people to think that I'm rich.
Sure. You put
by natural means.
Yeah, you're putting on airs as if you were self-made.
Well, yes, that's how you do it.
Uh-huh. That's okay. I'll take your word for it.
Well, look, I want to chime in on the topic if that's okay.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so I totally put my foot in my mouth here. So it was back in the 80s, and I was on a tour of the Orville Redenbacher popcorn factory with my church group.
Okay.
And we were at the very end of the tour where you get free samples and things like that. So you can get a handful of whatever, hot butter. You can get a handful of caramel, et cetera, you know, all the different kinds they have. And so I'm eating away, and I very loudly say, "Oh my God! This popcorn tastes like ass." Although I said the actual word.
Yeah. You can say that word.
Oh, I can. Okay, so I said this popcorn tastes like ass.
Uh-huh.
And everyone starts laughing, but I turn around and who is standing right there? But Orville Redenbacher,
the old man who was like the face of the company,
who I didn't even know was real.
Uh-huh.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I knew he was real. You didn't know?
I thought he was like an actor or something. I didn't know he was a real person.
Okay, I thought you meant you didn't know if that was a real human, like you thought it was a puppet or something.
No, I knew that, but I didn't know it was a real person that had any actual ties to the company.
Okay.
So, well, it turns out he was a real person, and he was real mad.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets up in my face, and he says, "What did you say, young man?" And so I'm nailed, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do. So I did what any young, God-fearing man would do. I told him I didn't say it tasted like ass, and that our pastor did.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Well, he gets up in Pastor Mike's face, and he starts totally going off, and I'll tell you, I've never heard that much profanity that loudly coming out of one person's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like I was listening to Joe Pesci going off on Michael Imperioli in Goodfellas, but it was coming out of the mouth of a beloved grandfather.
Yeah. And you were taken aback. And you were also the one who made the mess.
I was, yes. It was completely my fault. So, you know, I'm struggling with this. I'm feeling very guilty about getting Pastor Mike into trouble while I'm watching Orville Redenbacher whipping Pastor Mike with his bow tie and then proceeding to shove his horn-rimmed glasses into places where they shouldn't be shoved.
Yeah, that would upset me also.
Yeah. And then at the very end, Orville stuffed Pastor Mike into a giant popcorn tin, and then he rolled it down a ramp and right into this fetid pond.
And Pastor Mike was trapped inside the popcorn tin?
Yeah, he died.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a whole other... Yeah, that's a terrible wrinkle to the story. More than a wrinkle, I'd say.
Well, he was very wrinkled when they pulled him out.
Yes, his body was wrinkled.
It was, yes.
Sure. No, I would assume, but that's not how I meant it. And yeah, I probably would have a fair amount of guilt about this if I was you.
Oh, I don't anymore. I did then for like a couple days.
Oh, so you got past it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, uh-huh. You got to work at this stuff. Guilt will just kind of bring you down, and it stays inside you like a fetid lump of I don't know, undigested cheese.
Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes guilt, if you did the thing, is a natural response.
Well, now I'm wondering if I even did do it.
Are you wondering that because it's easier to have not done it?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, I recognize your voice. I'm trying to put my finger on it, but I know I've heard your voice, Bill. Is it, how might I know you?
Well, it's Bill Putnam over at Friends in Need Massage.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let me just tell the audience, Bill. I used a Groupon. And that I was looking forward to getting a massage. I had a Groupon for one, and I went to this place, and it was Friends in Need is the name of the place, and it's need is not NEED. What is it, Bill?
It's KNEAD, like how you need someone's back or their you know, whatever, their glutes, their calves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very clever.
It is.
It's very clever.
I think it's a great name.
Yeah. So that's where I recognize your voice from. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that leads me to the real reason for which my call is for. Yeah. Did you not hear me?
Yeah. No, I did. I'm just commenting on how. Clumsy that is, and kind of ungrammatical.
No, it's not. It's how people talk.
Say it again. For which we, what was it? For which I.
I said, which leads me to the reason for which my call is for.
It's clunky.
I don't get what's weird about it.
It's unwieldy. It's verb,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I didn't go to Yale like you and Mike and get lacrosse scholarships, okay?
Well, I didn't go to Yale.
I fell out on the streets.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Tough guy. I didn't go to Yale either, so.
But you did play lacrosse.
I did not play lacrosse.
Did Mike play lacrosse?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no, he didn't.
What did Mike play?
What sports did you play, Mike? Baseball, basketball.
Oh, my God.
At the same time?
It's like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he is like Michael Jordan. Yeah, you guess you want to be like Mike, right?
Yeah. Except for the gambling.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What?
I guess that would, yeah. Wait, which Mike?
That was
Michael,
cheap. That was cheap. I'm
well,
sorry.
Michael Jordan gambled also.
I know.
So that's who, oh, you're not saying AP Mike gambles.
I'm saying he shouldn't.
Okay, fair
does
enough.
Does AP Mike gamble?
I don't think he's a big gambler.
Okay, well that's a bad road to go down. Ask my uncle.
Uh huh.
I mean, you should ask my uncle, but he's not living anymore.
Is it because of gambling?
Yeah, hardcore debts.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I would ask him for his insight into it, but that seems like it's not possible.
They found each of his hands in a different deep fryer in various Wendy's around town.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. Ugh.
All right, so look, anyway.
Yeah.
Back to the reason for which I'm calling for. I did it again, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh! It's tough.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here it is. I'll lay it out for you. Was there a reason you didn't tip me?
Was there a reason I didn't tip you after the massage?
Yes.
Well, let me explain something to you, Bill. The whole point of a massage is to feel better and to relax.
That's right.
Yeah. But I gotta say, it was impossible, absolutely impossible to do that with you giving the massage once you found out that I did some writing, and then you took that as an opportunity to just kind of lay out the plot of this horror screenplay you've been working on for the entirety of the massage. The entire 60 minutes was you talking all about this horror movie that you're writing. And I also just want to say, as a sidebar, the story of this thing is so weird and unsettling and scary that I almost left five times. I almost got up.
Wow. Well, that sounds like I was doing my job right then as a screenwriter. And look, I thought you'd find it interesting. You know, you're a writer. I'm a fellow writer. We're screenwriters together.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I write and you write too. And, but I mean, I was not that was, you were not a writer when I was getting the, you should not have had your writer's hat on then.
Well, look, I felt like I needed something to distract you because, look, I'm going to lay it out on the line here. You had the tightest haunches I've ever encountered. I almost busted my thumb trying to undo those haunch knots.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my haunch knots.
Have you been, like, lifting refrigerators or something?
No, I've not been lifting refrigerators. I just,
Have you been rolling them?
No, I've not been doing anything with refrigerators in terms of movement.
Okay, well, all right. Well, those haunches were super tight. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, Bill, I just got to say to you, I'm there to relax. You created an atmosphere that was so not relaxing.
Okay, well, I apologize about you not being relaxed, but as a fellow screenwriter, I think I did my job then because it sounds like you were very scared. And look, you have to admit that many of the ideas in my screenplay, The Guitar Center Murders, have never been seen before, right?
Oh no, I'll admit that. There's some uncharted territory in your screenplay.
I agree, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I feel so good about the film overall, but especially the beginning. I think the film really starts off strong, and it really announces its presence in a big way. You know, Randy, one of the guys who works in the bass department of the Hollywood Guitar Center, he's standing there on the loading dock, and it's the day is just kind of starting, and there's mist drifting in, and Randy opens this package from a new guitar maker in Jamaica. Randy loves the guitar, but as soon as he starts playing Crazy Train on it, he gets a giant shock. Even though the guitar isn't plugged in, his body starts convulsing like he's being shaken in a concrete mixer, just shaking, 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 and eventually his head just blows up. And everything inside Randy liquefies, and it runs into the loading dock drain and out to sea. What a beginning!
That makes you made your impression with that opening. Yeah,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, and it's going to get a real, real rise out of people.
I think it will.
Yeah. That movie is something else, though. I got to tell you, you know, one of the more upsetting things in it was
what?
To me was the scene when the person was trying out keyboards, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when they were just trying to do the keyboards and they were playing Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue
right.
on it. And then the one guy is playing it, and then suddenly he starts like that, the way you were describing, how were you doing, like the blood coming out of the mouth, do that sound?
Yeah, it's at first you think he's just got like a little cough or like a little bit of phlegm going on, and he goes, and it's just like liquid.
Because then somebody rammed a keyboard through the back of his head, out his mouth, and you see all 88 keys.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Kind of come
pretty
out of
scary.
His...
Pretty scary. And then, did you love the little touch that I put in after that where someone actually samples the sound, and then at the weirdest moments in the movie, someone is near a keyboard and they hit a key and you just hear... It's disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. It's look, your thing is unsettling. You were asking me from a point of pride about it being unsettling. It's very unsettling.
Well, here I'll ask you this. I'd love your input on the scene where Randy's coworker Milt goes down to Jamaica to try to find out just what the origin of this guitar is, and then he finds that open volcano, and he's told he has to do a human sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And instead of actually doing the human sacrifice, he thinks that he could substitute some other form of living creature for that.
Yeah.
So he goes down to the lagoon, and he sees a shark swimming around there. And then he goes down to try to wrestle the shark out of the lagoon, and the shark jumps him. Do I need to have someone say, that shark just jumped the human? Or will that be implied visually and people will laugh at that?
I think if you want the joke to land, you might want to lean into that one pretty hard.
Have someone say it, like a guy go, look, man, that shark just jumped that human.
Yeah, I would say you could even maybe have them hit it even a little harder than that. Like,
look, man, that shark just jumped that human, man.
You could maybe get rid of the mon part of it. That's horrifyingly offensive.
Oh, I thought that gives it a local flavor, no?
Yeah, no, it probably gives it a good tinge of racism, I would say.
All right.
Yeah.
Good note. Good note.
These are good notes, yeah.
That's a good note. All right, hey. Yes. Go ahead.
I would probably say a couple of the other things you had said could use a little bit of a rethink.
Okay, a little punch up?
Yeah, tell me what was one of your favorite scenes in it again? Like, what was another one because you were getting really juiced up about certain scenes.
I was. I loved when Burles, the grizzled Hollywood cop, realizes that the guitar can only play reggae safely. Mm-hmm. And any other kind of music played on the guitar is going to result in exsanguination at the very least. Mm-hmm. I just love that moment when that comes to him.
When he realizes that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and you were really excited then, and you were kind of... In terms of the massage, it was the last thing you were thinking about was the massage at that point.
What was I doing? I remember I was like up in the shoulder area, maybe?
You were acting the whole thing out. You were acting the whole thing out on my shoulder.
Oh, right. And I do remember this because I was definitely acting out the martial arts scene.
Yeah.
On just above your buttocks.
Yeah. Not great. Not a great massage.
Well, I was really going for it.
Uh-huh.
Hey, question for you.
Yeah.
I know the love scene is excessive at 10 pages.
Yeah, yes.
But I really, really do think I hit the perfect blend of sublime eroticism and X-rated yuck. What do you think?
I thought it was upsetting. I don't know why you had to physically lay the pages on my back after putting that oil on me.
Oh, I don't know. I thought that would sell it more.
Yeah, no, I could just feel paper stuck to my back.
Some people like that. Yeah. I've had clients who ask for oil paper back.
No, I did not ask for it, no.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I thought the love scene was, and the term love is being used very loosely in that scene.
Oh, no, they're in love. They're all in love, all seven of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be possible to get Mick Mars to actually be, unless you have a connection with him.
Well, I do. My big concern with Mick is just that he's not going to be physically able to get himself in the positions I need because he's got that weird backbone fusion thing happening where he just can't really move it. So I'm wondering if he should just, if maybe he just watches from above and, you know, I don't know.
Kind of like on a throne or something.
Yeah, maybe he's winking his dinkle at some point. I don't know.
Oh, God. Horrible.
Hey, question for you.
Yeah, what's that, Bill?
It's more of a statement on my part than a question.
Uh-huh.
I think the final scene of this thing is the best thing ever. I really do. And I just want to run through it with you really quick.
Yeah, let's do
see
it.
If anything jumps out at you.
Okay.
Okay, you'll remember that in the final scene, the Emperor of Jamaica gives the guitar to President Trump. And President Trump is about to strum it and sing a verse from the Rolling Stones' big hit, Satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
And we all know what's going to happen if he does that. You know, that this guitar can only play reggae.
Yeah.
Or it's bad news for the holder.
Yeah.
So, this is a pivotal moment. Just then, Alex Lifeson from Rush parachutes in at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
Takes the guitar from Trump's tiny hands and plays the reggae section from Spirit of Radio. I just love that. It's amazing, right?
It's surprising.
It is.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but then it goes up a notch because this has some weird effect on President Trump and causes all the evil to come out of the guitar and go directly into President Trump, where it mixes with the 18 quarts of evil that's already in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a chain reaction, and President Trump explodes so violently it makes Mr. Creosote's demise look like Leo DiCaprio's sleep death in Titanic.
Yeah, that was shocking. Backing up to the Alex Lifeson thing, it was strange because there was never a single mention of Rush or Alex Lifeson or anything in the entire script, as far as I remember.
Oh, well, that's a big surprise for the audience, because if there's one thing I've learned over the years, it's that people love to be surprised by Rush.
People just, okay, that's not something I'm as familiar with, people loving to be surprised by the band Rush.
Okay, well, that's a good note.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it.
I would
it,
say
but
you
I'll,
could
I'll
maybe foreshadow that Alex Lifeson might be in the mix later.
Okay. Can I just have someone say that?
Say that Alex Lifeson might be in the mix later?
Yeah.
Well, now that's not foreshadowing so much. I would probably maybe have someone talk about how Alex Lifeson is their favorite guitarist or something. And
that feels heavy-handed to me.
I'm sorry.
Really does.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm feeling like you don't think that highly of this whole thing. I mean, I thought you were into it. Are you not?
I don't think it's good. No, I don't.
Huh.
It's not my cup of tea, I guess you could maybe say.
Well, maybe I just should crumple it up and throw it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I you don't have to give up on it. Maybe take a good hard look at it and see what you can do to it to improve it. Maybe.
No, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop all this. All this nonsense.
You don't have to.
No, it's nonsense. I got no right doing this. I have no right doing this.
Come on, Bill. That's not true.
Oh my God.
What?
Whoa.
What's that?
Oh my God! This is amazing. I just got an email from John Ross Bowie's agent Rick Hemmings,
uh-huh,
telling me that that JRB is listening to the show, and he flipped over my screenplay idea.
Okay.
Huh. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, Rick Hemmings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my. It's also my agent.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm repped by Rick Hemmings.
No, you're not.
Yeah. From Hemmings Artist Group?
Yeah, let me look at the email again. Hang on, let me... Oh, he does have some clients listed at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Still listed. Reading.
Okay. You don't see my name?
Still reading.
You still haven't seen my name yet, Bill.
Still reading.
Keep looking, Bill. It's on there.
I don't see it. I just don't see it. Oh, that's so embarrassing. I don't see your... Oh, wait, no. Here it is. Wait, do you go by another name, Tim Schwarplorf?
No, that's a spelling mistake.
It's weird that it's separated from all the other names, too.
That's unsettling to me. Yeah, that doesn't feel great.
You might want to ask him about that.
Yeah, I plan on it.
Oh, well, it sounds like we're going to be brothers in art.
Oh, goody.
I love it. Maybe JRB will throw you a bone and maybe get you to do, some little laughy punch-ups or something.
Some laughy punch-ups.
Maybe?
Yeah, jeepers. Well, fingers crossed and all, you know.
Fingers are always crossed. And you know what?
What's that?
I'm just going to sit back right now. I'm going to celebrate with a little Cristal, a couple fine hamburgers, and... I don't know, some really good music. All right?
Yeah, okay. Good for
Sounds
you.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right, man.
Oh, well, that was nice. He's listening to Let's Active.